Sovereign Lord, as we look into your word and see what you said about rejection and reconciliation, take our minds and think through them. Take my lips and speak through them, and take each and every one of our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. We ask this in your name. Amen. Do please sit. And if you've got that passage that Michael read, perhaps you'd like to turn to it. Luke 13, page 73, at the back of the church Bibles. Last Tuesday was World Poetry Day, although there wasn't much evidence of that on the streets of Crowborough. But it did set me thinking, why don't we celebrate today, Mothering Sunday, with a poem or two? After all, if you look in our order of service on page 3, there is an option for poetry, which is seldom, if ever, taken up. So I went online to look for something suitable, keyed in Mother's Day, poem, and I came up with a whole host of things. Most of them had Mom, M-O-M, in the title, but they were for the most part sentimental and warm and heartfelt, but not quite the poem I was looking for, because I wanted something that would lead us into this passage of Luke that we're looking at today. So I looked more closely into our own poetry books at home, and I came up with a poem about a rather special mother, Mary, the mother of Jesus. It's by Clive Sampson, a Tasmanian Quaker, who wrote a series of poems called The Witnesses, about people who met Jesus. And you may have come across the most famous. It's called The Innkeeper's Wife, and it's in most Christmas anthologies. Anyway, this one is called Mary of Nazareth, and it goes like this. I felt him under my heart, stirring. He was mine, mine only. I forgot the long divided years when my thoughts were lonely. As I saw him kicking with sudden joy the sides of his manger, I little thought that the godchild there was already a stranger. I watched him grow, a sapling tree in a spring meadow. He smiled at me, loved, and was gone like a cloud's shadow. In the temple, distracted, I knew the measure of the heart's treason. His eyes, through mine, were those of a traveller on some far horizon. To his brother's shame, he left his work for that homeless preaching. He would not turn from the alien crowd when I was approaching. I saw him stretched on the cross-boughed tree with the world mocking. The life I carried torn with the strains that death was making. Now time cannot add to my heart's sorrow. The years have circled. He becomes as he was when my breasts held him, when a god was suckled. Well, a poem that embraces every mother's experience of bearing a child and watching that child grow, sharing that child's life journey with all its joy, with all its pain, and sometimes with all its heartbreak. And it does, of course, through his mother's eyes, retell the journey of Jesus that we are following in Luke's gospel, the journey from the manger to the cross. Luke's purpose in his great gospel was to explain simply and accurately the key aspects of the life of Jesus Christ, the stepping stones by which he advanced from that virgin birth to a bloodstained cross and then to an empty tomb. Right at the beginning of his book, he tells us, doesn't he, what it's all about. Since many have undertaken to set down an orderly account of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed on to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, I too decided, after investigating everything very carefully from the very first, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the fruit, so that you may know the truth concerning the things about which you have been instructed. There it is, careful investigation, interviews with eyewitnesses, people at the sharp end, resulting in an orderly, truthful, accurate account of Jesus' birth, life, death, resurrection, and ascension. A gospel that all of us, men, women, young people, can believe in today. And since last year at All Saints, we've been following Luke's accurate retelling of that amazing story in all different services with all different speakers, sometimes running in chronological order, sometimes jumping backwards and forwards to fit in with the services of the church's year. And so today we jump back from last week, when Mark gave us a highly mobile account of Jesus' trial and sentencing, to a less dramatic but no less significant event in chapter 13. Those verses 31 to 35 that Mike read to us. And why today? Well, the clue is in the title of today's talk, Jesus and the Mother Hen. And it points us quite appropriately on this Mothering Sunday to verse 34, where Jesus says, "How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings." How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. It's a lovely poetic simile. But I have to say at the start that mothers are not the main topic of this passage from Luke. That is reserved for Jesus and his relationship to the Jewish people, and bringing us up to date, his relationship to us here this morning. In our verses today, we reach a point in that journey where Jesus, moving through towns and villages, teaching the people on his way to Jerusalem, finds that his enemies are circling. Some Pharisees, verse 31, come to him and say, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." We don't know quite what their motive was in bringing this warning, but it elicits from Jesus a challenge and a prophecy. "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Once again, Jesus prophesies, with a touch of sarcasm this time, that he will be killed in Jerusalem, as he's already told his disciples. And once again, he stresses the importance of those 3 days between his death and his glorious resurrection. And at the mention of Jerusalem, Jesus laments what is going to happen to that great city, both spiritually and materially. He uses exactly the same words of verses 34 and 35 at the end of chapter 23 of Matthew's Gospel, when Jesus actually is in Jerusalem. Maybe Luke puts them here because there's a natural link with the previous verse. Or maybe, as with many of his sayings and teachings, Jesus repeated this heartfelt cry more than once. Whatever its origin, it's the strongest statement so far in Luke of what Jesus thinks his death will be all about. In verse 34, he sums up in just a few words the whole history, not just of Jerusalem, but of the people of Israel. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. You were not willing. All through the Old Testament, we find, don't we, that rejection of God by his chosen people, flouting his commandments, following other gods, criticizing the leaders he has appointed, killing his prophets. As Ezekiel says in that reading that Carol made, they have turned to detestable things, and as a result, they've been scattered to many countries in exile from the promised land. But God, in his mercy, has offered them reconciliation, a new start. I will gather you from the peoples and assemble you out of the countries where you've been scattered. I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them. Then they shall be my people, and I will be their God. What a wonderful offer, but also eventually rejected. And Jesus has given us the same offer of reconciliation. Verse 34 again of our reading. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings? How often? He's offered that time and time again. From that first call to people after his baptism to repent of their sins and follow him. To bring the people of Israel, God's chosen people, into the kingdom that he came on earth to build. To give them spiritual safety beneath the sheltering wings of his love. And yet, you were not willing. What a sad phrase that is. You were not willing. It was a rejection of the love that Christ offered. And it would put him on the cross. It would bring about the destruction of Jerusalem and its temple, and it would bring an ongoing division between Jesus and the nation whom he came to save to this day and beyond. You will not see me, says verse 35, until the time comes when you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. The Jewish people will be estranged from their Messiah until Jesus comes again in glory. And then it will be too late. The Christian writer Joyce Huggett, herself a mother, sees these verses like this. When we open ourselves to others in love, we make ourselves vulnerable. When our love is rejected or thrown back in our face, the hurt can be heartbreaking. And Jesus' heart was already being broken. In the verses before our reading today, Jesus has already said that to be in the kingdom of God with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets, the people of Israel must go through that narrow door, the door that is Christ himself. But they won't accept the invitation. And as a result, will in the last days knock on an unopened door. Rejecting Christ's offer of forgiveness and reconciliation does have serious consequences. The Cornish school teacher and poet Charles Causley puts it like this. I am the great sun, but you do not see me. I am your husband, but you turn away. I am the captive, but you do not free me. I am the captain, you will not obey. I am the truth, but you will not believe me. I am the city where you will not stay. I am your wife, your child, but you will leave me. I am that God to whom you will not pray. I am your counsel, but you do not hear me. I am the lover whom you will betray. I am the victor, but you do not cheer me. I am the holy dove whom you will slay. I am your life, but if you will not name me, seal up your soul with tears and never blame me. Well, the holy dove was slain, as we shall remember in 3 weeks' time. But thank God we will also remember that Jesus rose again. And today he makes that same offer that he made to the people of Jerusalem. Repent of your sins and follow me. Come under the shadow of my wings and find my peace, my love, my reconciliation, my protection. Jesus' distress over Jerusalem and its people was because they had rejected his offer of reconciling love. And for us, well, we will never find peace in heart or mind until we accept that offer. As John writes in Revelation chapter 3, listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me. George Herbert, that devout and humble 17th century priest, imagined Jesus as the personification of love, always ready to welcome the repentant sinner. He put it like this, love bade me welcome, yet my soul drew back, guilty of dust and sin, But quick-eyed love, observing me grow slack from my first entrance in, drew nearer to me, sweetly questioning if I lacked anything. A guest, I answered, worthy to be here. Love said, you shall be he. I, the unkind, ungrateful, ah, my dear, I cannot look on thee. Love took my hand and smiling did reply, who made the eyes but I? Truth, Lord, but I have marred them. Let my shame go where it doth deserve. And know you not, says love, who bore the blame? My dear, then I will serve. You must sit down, says love, and taste my meat. So I did sit and eat. And for many of us here have accepted that loving invitation of Christ to sit and eat with him. And we rejoice that we've gone through that narrow door to become living members of Christ's kingdom, secure under the protective wings of his salvation for all eternity. But if we've never accepted that invitation, then why not do so today, on this lovely morning, on this Mothering Sunday? After this service, go to the prayer chapel at the back and have a prayer with Graham or Elizabeth. Speak to Rob or me afterwards. Don't be one of those who have heard Jesus' loving voice. How often have I desired to gather you as a hen gathers her brood under her wings and turned away, unwilling. Be willing. On this Mothering Sunday, seize the opportunity, seize the day, believe, repent, and follow Jesus Christ. Let's end with a prayer by Joyce Huggett from her lovely Lent book, God's Springtime. Lord, there are times when I've spurned your love and refused the refuge you offer. Yet you opened wide your arms on the cross and gave me the grace to come into them, that there I might find peace, rest, and the springtime of my soul. Amen.
You in prayer, and Suzanne's going to come and lead us.